Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Barb Pello, and I'm going to be your moderator for the webinar today. I'm a group director at InfoTrends, and I'm glad you could join us to build your understanding of when security counts. You know, with the incidence of fraud, identity theft, and counterfeiting on the rise, it's more important than ever to protect all kinds of documents against unauthorized reproduction and misuse. Producing those sensitive documents demands the highest level of quality and security. And this extends beyond checks to include applications like tickets, passports, ID badges, prescription pads, high-value coupons, cross-border documents, birth certificates, and more. I'm delighted today to have John Sleeney from Content Critical and Mike Lambert from Safest Innovation joining me to spend some time talking to you about the importance of security measures. And what we'll be doing today is we'll be talking about a number of different areas, including secure printing applications across a number of different market segments, ranging from government to healthcare to education, technologies that people are leveraging, and we'll wrap up with some recommendations for peers in the industry. Before I get started, what I would like to do is make sure that we cover a few tips to ensure that you enjoy the webinar. First of all, if you're having technical difficulties, let us know by using the Q&A box, or you can troubleshoot by clicking the help widget below. If you've got a question, and we'll be taking questions throughout the webinar, all you have to do is submit them via the Q&A box. Make sure that you disable pop-up blockers. And if you want to see what the console can do, merely click on the Tips for Attendees widget for a complete rundown. Now, as I indicated, I'm going to spend just a few minutes up front framing the market and talking about what people are doing to protect against counterfeiting, fraud, and unauthorized reproduction. And then what you're going to hear are some good pieces of advice from what I categorize as two very good practitioners, John Sleeney, the COO of Content Critical, and Mike Lambert, VP of Sales for Safest Innovation. We'll wrap up with some recommendations and conclusions, and again, please key in questions throughout the webinar. We'll be taking them as we get them in. Now, let's start by talking just a little bit about fraud, counterfeiting, and unauthorized reproduction. First of all, fraud is a pervasive problem. Believe it or not, 5% of revenues in the U.S. were lost to fraud. It's a $725 billion problem in the U.S. Now, for comparison's sake, look at the defense budget spending, which is about $660 billion in 2010. What we're doing is we're losing more money to fraud than we're spending on defense. And if you look at the cost of fraud, it equates to $2,200 for every man, woman, and child in America. The number of U.S. identity fraud victims rose 12% to 11.1 million adults last year. And that's the highest level since the survey from Javelin Strategy and Research was initiated. I tell folks a couple weeks ago, I had my first experience with identity theft. My mother had passed away several years ago, and all of a sudden, I got a Citibank credit card bill in her name. And it wasn't an easy process to sit down and work through that. When we talk about fraud and secure documents, it's a lot more than checks. They cut across all market segments. In the financial world, it can be stocks, bonds, money orders, in the insurance market, proof of insurance, claims approval forms. In the retail market, it can be gift certificates, cash register receipts. So it cuts across all industries and a number of documents. Now, the next question is, how are those documents attacked? Well, first of all, what you're seeing are four major mechanisms for really attacking those documents. The first is theft, and that's the acquisition of an original document with intent to present false information. In the case of credentials, it could be something like a credit card. But in most cases, document theft also entails the presentation of false information on an item. When a blank check is stolen, filled in, and submitted for payment. The next major area is alteration, and that's the addition, removal, or otherwise change to the original information on an item. And what it means is that the information presented has been changed. The most common forms of alteration involve ink or toner removal, and replacement with false information. We're seeing false issuance as an issue. And basically what's happened is that can be perpetrated by a trusted insider. That could be something like embezzlement. Or it can be perpetrated by someone outside, and that's usually via misrepresentation. And last but not least, we see counterfeiting or mimics. And those describe representations of an original item, often carrying falsified information. A mimic could be a color copy, as an example, when currency is copied and presented as authentic. Or it could be a counterfeit driver's license, passport, or check. Now, the big thing is that document security is both an opportunity for service providers to gain new revenues from a number of different mechanisms for protecting those secure documents, and it's also big business for you. And what you do when you look at document security is you are going to offer tools or features that are easy to recognize yet difficult to produce or reproduce so that the viewer understands what they are. There are features that reveal attempts to alter original information, and there are features to educate acceptors on how to authenticate the actual information. And the example on this screen is of a passport, which contains multiple different document features that ensure that that document is, in fact, secure. Now, when we look at preventing theft, one of the keys is to control access to original items and employ tools that quickly identify if or when that theft has occurred. What we see in the print side of the market are a number of options, things like control numbers, so that I can detect if a document out of sequence is in fact missing. I can track that. I can also put security tapes and seals on boxes. But those on-document technologies like control numbers and document IDs are absolutely critical when you look at the theft side of the market. The next thing is protecting alteration. And the key is to complicate the removal of original information and employ tools that quickly identify if and when that alteration has occurred. People are using things like chemical stains, toner anchorage, specialty inks, or erasable ink backgrounds. Now, and I know you're going to hear John Slaney talk a bit about this, but the other piece is prevention of false issuance. What we're seeing is outsourcing providers or enterprises offer a whole different level of security for some documentation, both, by the way, printed and electronic. And what they're doing is they're constructing facilities that are fire retardant. They may have concrete, block, and steel, or they're surrounded by security fences. And they're equipped with things like fire suppression systems, motion detectors, smoke and heat sensors. They've got swipe card access, as well as exterior and interior surveillance cameras. And that's really to protect those documents against theft. And last but not least, you want to avoid counterfeiting or mimics. And what you want to do is employ tools that enable a reviewer to ascertain the actual legitimacy of the item and the information on it. And you want to educate them, the reviewer, relative to how to use those tools. They include everything like void pantographs, microprinting, prismatic printing, a number of major tools that are available in the marketplace today. And I think the big message in all of this is that as a service provider, you have the ability to truly take a bite out of crime and support fraud reduction. And what you want to look at is how you can respond. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn over to John Slaney, and John's going to talk to you about what Content Critical does to help in terms of fraud prevention and in terms of making sure that their customers' documents are, in fact, secure. John, take it away.
Thank you, Barb. Good afternoon, everybody. Content Critical, let me just give you a little history of Content Critical. Content Critical is a leading supplier of mission-critical business communications focused on custom solutions around customers' applications to provide secure processing platforms for the rendering of documents. We service the Fortune 500 client base, and we've focused on customer service, and flexible solutions, adapting many of our customers' needs and business requirements into our secure environment to ensure that those documents are rendered accurately and securely. Did we get on sync here?
I'll get you taken care of here, Jack.
Okay.
There you go.
Keep flipping back.
You should be fine, Jack. There you go.
Okay. Sorry about that. I keep jumping back, Barb. I'm sorry.
I'll move this slide for you.
Great, thank you. So, content critical, diversified communication resource offering digital print in a cut sheet and continuous formats, full color, monochromatic, and mica. We also provide large format, full documents services, offset printing, as well as rendering, fulfillment, mailing, intelligent inserting, and a full bindery and finishing department. As well as the facilities for production, we also provide on-staff programming development and web development that are tied into our products and services.
John, just a quick question for you. How many employees does Content Critical have?
Content Critical has about 150 employees between multiple facilities, between shop workers, as well as customer service management and the developers.
Great. Thanks, John.
And moving down, transactional document services. We offer the full scope of the document lifecycle from the creation through the information management, the production, the channel, multi-channel distribution, and then the archiving and distribution through an e-based environment. All of these various different components incorporate various modes of security to render those documents to ensure that there is no fraud, there is no capture of critical information, and even in today's world, we talk about checks and other types of documents, but it's names and addresses today that can be captured and can be exposed to the privacy concerns for customers, especially when you're dealing with banks, financial institutions, and some of the larger customers. It's not just direct mail anymore. This information can lead to fraud in various different ways. What we're going to focus on is the mica printing. Content Critical delivers check processing for our customers. We utilize the OSE Digital 6160 platform for printing. Mica is a magnetic imaging character recognition, meaning that it's the magnetic toner that is being interpreted by the financial institutions to read that information with a higher level of frequency so that the error rates are reduced. Check volumes have decreased with the ongoing ACH transfer that's evolved, but it's still a required vehicle of fund distribution for many financial service companies. Barbara, are we alive? Is that up to date?
Yep, we're good.
Okay. You good? Good. What we look at from a security perspective is three aspects. First is the data side of security, the physical side of security, and then the actual personnel who are involved in rendering these documents. From a data security perspective, layered best practices are leveraged to secure, to provide multi-tiered security traps to ensure that intrusion is not part of your operation. Antivirus, anti-spam protection are required. Secure methods of transfer, SFTP, PGP encryption are a requirement, both either receiving data through the Internet or through direct line transmission. When the data is received and decrypted and processed, it then also is put into a what they call a at-rest, encrypted at-rest position, and then when complete, it's wiped clean from storage devices to remove it and remove the exposure of the institution or the company from having that data reside on your servers. Management is critical. Yep.
I got just a real quick question. You mentioned when you look at the requirements, what vertical markets do you serve? And you've got obviously some very comprehensive data security practices. Are there vertical segments where the requirements are more stringent than others relative to your business models?
Well, we saw a number of years ago the financial institutions were very stringent on their requirements, but that has reached into healthcare with the HIPAA regulations, and we're seeing it almost in all industries today. There is some level of security, some obviously being higher based on the instruments that you're rendering. But in today's world, security is required whether you're servicing the financial services firm or the retail side of the business, as people's information, as their documents are critical, and there is privacy information on those documents, whether it's a name and address or it's social security numbers or routing numbers for checks. We're seeing that this is growing larger and larger. I would say anything that's rendering money or has an account laden, the levels of security are at a higher level. But we are seeing that push down in our environment, even to some rudimentary areas of document rendering. Does that kind of answer that, Barb?
Sure. Now, one other quick question. You use the term layered best practices. And one of our participants asked if you could explain what layered best practices is.
I'll do my best. Layered best practices are multi-tiered security measures on the logical side, meaning, let's say, multiple firewalls, multiple zones within your network, segmenting of your network, intrusion detection systems running through the multiple zones of your network to ensure if there is, let's say, an intrusion, that it's trapped at one zone and that one device cannot be attacked in singular. So if you get through one, you have more layers to go through to actually get to the core network itself. This causes, from a security standpoint, it tends to push people away because the deeper the layers, the more often they're going to get trapped and caught and when they do try to penetrate your systems, if they do. Does that kind of explain that?
Yeah, sure does.
So continuing on the physical side, one requirement that is critical is restricted zones for employees so that access is limited to the function and role of the employee, picture-based ID cards, video monitoring on all accesses, and we're seeing today a minimum of 90 days stored video on our servers for review. And, of course, you're required for the alarm for fire, smoke, and access. And then regular, at least quarterly training of employees based on security and confidentiality procedures. It is important that your employee base not only understand these procedures and processes that you're writing, but then adopting, that they're performing them. Jump to the next slide.
Yep, got it.
Going into check data processing, some of the keys around that data file validation is critical. So when we receive the data, we're breaking apart that. We're validating the number of records, payments, the amounts of dollars received, validation of check payment dates, beginning and ending check numbers, and the transmission received from the institution. If any one of these checkpoints have a failure, the job is abandoned and sent back to the customer for retransmission, meaning that there is an issue and that has to be examined. Once passed through those initial data validation points, the systems will generate check images. All the processing control metrics throughout the facility are generated, the number of impressions, sheets, checks, envelopes are going to be generated, and all the various different control points that we have from a quality control perspective are spit into our system and our operation for the managers to review as well as the operators as they're going through them. We generate images for the checks for customers to review through a web portal, which we'll show you briefly in a few seconds. We void those with a watermark through them. We've also masking any routing numbers, signatures, those type of elements, which are items that can be lifted off a document for reproduction or fraud, are really unnecessary for a review of the document. Typically, review by an institution is for check date, the amount, and the payees. The other items are typically loaded into the system and stored and don't change on a regular basis. When we receive approval through our web systems, the images are generated in a live environment, queued, and moved to the various different production output zones. Jumping to the next slide, we do provide, customers have client portals that they can actually come in, they can open up their particular batch run, review the documents that have been processed, suppress individual documents, reject the entire shipment of data, or approve it and move it on to the next stage.
John, I do have a quick question, and I'm not totally clear that I understand the question, so I'm going to ask you, and if you can answer, great. If you can't, that's okay, too.
Sure.
But the question came in, and it says, for in-the-field document verification, without the availability of tools or hardware, what method of document security will perform better than a void pantograph?
What will avoid pantograph? The void pantograph that we're generating here is an electronic void pantograph.
Okay.
I don't know. It's actually not a paper pantograph that's being generated on the document itself. We are moving that through various different portions of the check, which would make it difficult to lift the type from an electronic representation, as well as all of the masking of the control points or the routing number and the signatures. I don't know if that answers the question because I wasn't.
Okay, I think you've got it. Now, one other quick question that came in for you. Are you finding that being SAS 70 certified or Sarbanes-Oxley compliant is a requirement of most customers who require check printing?
It is. If you're not SAS 70 or SASE's 370, I forget what the exact number is, it is. You have to be following the standards and the procedures. So from a data side, maybe your facility and some of the other items in your facility may not meet the requirements from a business continuity perspective, but from a security standpoint, if you're not following those guidelines of that process, then you will have a tough time to enter into that space.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Moving past the portal is a convenience method for which customers can actually review their documents, their checks, and they can approve them and move them in. What this has eliminated is the need for, number one, moving documents through email as attachments, which is a risk point, actually generating physical samples of printed samples with void through them, which, again, is also a risk point. And this makes it very seamless for the customers to control that process through a remote or an outsourced provider. Once we get to the check imaging status, Barbara jumped the slide. Print files are spooled directly into the printers, the OSE 6160s, so that when the check actually prints, it can't be rerun. It's running through a natural spool process. Check stock, as Barb had mentioned earlier, is controlled with individual numbers on the back, not the actual check number, stock numbers. So every piece of paper that's extracted from the secure staging area for check documents, check stock, is recorded on an outbound basis, what's been imaged onto it, any destruction or documents that are destroyed in the process are also recorded and saved, moved back into the storage area with the overage or the excess print that wasn't, the stock that wasn't printed, and maintained. So there's a one-to-one correlation with the stock that's unused, stock that was destroyed, and the stock that was actually rendered for the customer. Once the checks are actually printed, they're loaded into locked cages. Locked cages are moved to secure staging areas waiting for the assembly or the fulfillment stages. Any destroyed checks that have been put into the secure staging area that have been signed off by the customer during a regular order process are then moved into lock bins that are shredded on site. Once we complete the actual imaging process, the checks are moved with the locked secured bins and moved to a mailing area. They're matched up to their paperwork. Cages are unlocked by management only, can't be opened by operators. They're inserted with a 309 barcode on the side where the actual packaging information, not an account number, is stored and tracked through the system. All the packages are reconciled and validated to ensure that the integrity of what went into the inserter was what came out on the other side, trayed and sorted and moved directly onto U.S. Postal trucks. So there isn't any, once it comes off the inserter, it's into the U.S. Postal Service system. One of the other components is we offer customers often, some of these checks may not have validated that the funds have been posted to the check, to the accounts. So in that particular case, checks will be inserted, put back into locked cages, and moved to a secure staging area until the funds have been validated from the customer and posted to their account, at which time an electronic notification is provided, which feeds back into our systems, thereby releasing that check run to be put into the postal system. We jump to the next slide, kind of give you an overview of a check processing workflow that I just described, where the check files flow in, the various different stages that you go through in an approval status. To include, we have also provided customers the ability to do on-statement messaging directly onto check remittance portions of the check so that additional documents do not have to be accompanied with the check itself, therefore creating any kind of paper workflow where pieces of paper may be moving around or may get misplaced in an actual production cycle. All documents are imaged directly into that run, and actually within the actual production run, document one to document two is synced through the intelligent inserter to know if there is a break in the sequence, the manager is notified that there has been a stoppage or a break in the sequence and somebody is examining that process. Showing the various different workflows from the web interaction, if their job is abended or checks are asked to be destroyed, customers flowing that all the way out to the post office. We give the customers 3 points of approval process so that they're able to control this workflow directly from their desktop all the way out the door. This provides a secure loop. So, again, minimizing moving things through email and various different other control points that do put risk around a process within an organization. Jumping to the next slide.
Before I let you off the hook there,
okay.
We have two questions for you. One is,
sure.
What type of, you mentioned on-statement messaging. What types of things are customers doing of yours in terms of on-statement messaging? We hear a lot about trans promo and those kinds of things, but what types of on-statement messaging would apply here, John?
What they're typically doing, so take dividend checks as a rule, as a process. It may be a last minute information that the reporter wants to put onto the document itself, meaning that we're paying dividends through the 31st of this month or something of that may not have made it into the processing check run. It could also be visit our website and enroll for ACH wire transfer, eliminate the need for checks. That type of messaging is going on to the document. It's not typically a marketing document because we see that it's not so easy in this type of a document to incorporate marketing messages because you're
it would be trans-informational. So the information for the client on the check.
That's right. So it's information around the client on the check. And what we've seen is the reason that it's been so well adopted is they were typically additional inserts or buck slips that were being stuck in the envelope, and it tied up an entire process while the buck slip was being generated or matching up particular buck slips to particular check runs. By doing this, it images directly on the check. Also, if we're doing a large check run for multiple companies, it allows that to go in one stream, bringing the postage discount down.
Great.
Because each image is individually generated.
And before you get to recommendations, I have one additional question for you. And I'm going to let you respond to this, so I have an answer to it, but is the security print using a digital device as secure as offset printing?
Is it as secure as offset printing?
Yeah.
I guess it's really, you have to look at the instrument of what you're producing. From a check perspective, the next wave of check imaging will be the high-speed inkjet presses, whether the OSE or the various different companies that are offering it, because we can actually generate the pantograph. The stock controls can get eliminated. We can do all of those controls right in line on the actual printer itself, eliminating that additional step of, say, hey, I've got stock that I have to track.
Yeah.
I would almost say that we have the ability with the digital environment that generate more controls, more processes beyond what an offset press can do,
okay.
Whether that be ultraviolet inks that we can use, and they can vary. We can change the algorithms on those type of security measures quickly, whereas in an offset environment, we may not be able to do that.
Great answer. Thanks, John. I'll let you get to your recommendations here.
So, I mean, from a final perspective, secure practices, both logical and physical, are critical. I think we need to, you have to adapt security both on the data side as well as the physical side. Automated processing environments alleviate a lot of touch points. Only they create an automated workflow, but they also reduce the risk in processing those and remove people from the process. Automated proofing reduces paper, email, areas where there is risk in pushing an image out and allowing people to look at or letting somebody grab that image and do something with it. Closed-loop queuing, so that people aren't moving files around through various different servers. It's going directly from that automated process into a print queue, being released by the operator or the manager, and produced and then removed from that printer. Microscanning, validating check densities is critical. We scan those checks every 100 or so images to ensure that the density is going to be good through the banks. Required positioning, secure staging areas is very important to make sure that things are separated and secure. Multiple points of validation to make sure the imaging and the inserting are correct. Package tracking, automated regeneration procedures so that you're easily able to regenerate those images and account for each regenerated image. And then managing, having complete management operator and employee training of your security practices will only enhance your process.
Well, John, that was tremendous insight. I'm sure we'll have some more questions. Please don't be bashful or keying those in. But that was great insight, John. Thank you. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over to Mike Lambert from CEPA. And Mike's going to talk to you about trends in secure printing.
All right. Thank you, Barb, for the introduction. And there we go. So just a little bit about CFAS Innovation. We've actually been around for about 20 years or so. We started back actually in the 80s as a consulting firm, and we actually built software tools to do composition and to build an ADF for British Telecom back in the 80s, and then productionized and started marketing our solutions in about 1991. We are owned by DocaPost, which is the French government, the French postal system. And you might think that be odd that the post office would own a software company, but they actually own several software companies. As the European postal system is trying to evolve to a more service bureau model, moreover what we do here in the States. So their plan is to take in people's raw data, create images, or take in print-ready files, and process them in remote locations across the country so they can remove some of the infrastructure costs to truck, fly, and truck the mail in between. Of course, they would get a fee for doing that service, but offer much deeper discounts on postal rates in the meantime. And to keep up with the trends in the industry for electronic presentment, et cetera, we have sister companies in DocaPost that do email delivery and network and security and all of the other digital and IT solutions necessary to do both physical and electronic distribution. Well, in order to accommodate all those types of services, you need to be able to create images from raw data using composition tools, take in people's print-ready files and amend them with the necessary production control marks to be able to process in these facilities. And number three, be able to take large chunks of work and split them apart and process them in remote facilities, but still keep track from an integrity standpoint and service level tracking and billing standpoint, despite that these things might be split across multiple facilities. So that's really what we do at CFAS. That's what we offer is the open print software solution. So subsequently, we get to see a lot of different aspects from a digital side, how people address the secure printing issues that they have to deal with. So a little bit about myself. I'm Vice President of Sales for CFAS. I'm responsible for managing the direct sales in the U.S. and our partner relationships, and basically guide the product development on where we see we need to attack new markets, et cetera. Previous to this, I was an enterprise technology architect at Cigna Healthcare for about 25 years, planning the long-term infrastructure and service planning for print-on-demand, print-to-mail, imaging, composition services, all the things necessary to create customer communications. In doing so, that involved check processing, EOBs, EOPs, and all the other different types of policy and secure documents that a healthcare provider may produce. So I think that my particular background and skill set really came to the ability to link technology to these business objectives and really take a focus on what we needed to do from a corporate standpoint and then apply that to what are the technologies and trends in the industry that are facilitating these types of services. And then how do you get from point A to point B, the ability to create tactical migration strategies to leverage what I have today, but build the strategic path and kind of evolve to what I need to be tomorrow. So just some basic observations of where we see today's leading companies going. You know, everybody's increasingly being challenged with more privacy and compliance regulations. PCI, HIPAA, SOX, it's really been with the customers that we've dealt with in the past, I would say 18 to 24 months, the restrictions have greatly increased, and I would say that a good 70% of the contracts we have in flight today have all been rewritten recently to add in much more stringent requirements around our employees and facilities and care needed to process secure data. So we see that this whole approach needs to be both physical and electronic. So taking the proper steps to secure the data and the transferring of the data, insert the necessary control information, and indexing, basically each transaction now has to have an identity. Whereas before we would process at a job level and make sure that 100 pieces went in and 100 pieces came out, that's no longer acceptable. Now we have to provide transaction level visibility and accountability as we process these things so that it's the right 100 transactions in and out of the process. So intelligent devices and camera systems to securely process this is now becoming more prevalent, and automation and workflow systems to trigger, track, and audit this across the multiple steps of the production process. So from our perspective, the key trend that we see is you have to manage your digital assets to better leverage the physical assets. So if you can have intelligent inserting and you can have cameras on your folders and cutters and printers, et cetera, but if you don't have the right indexing and control marks on the data to begin with, then the physical infrastructure isn't going to provide the necessary security that you're looking for. So you have to embed the proper controls, either via the composition or post-composition process, and intelligent indexing and integrity marks on each document and transaction, and then record that information through the whole process. Another trend we see is using either composition or post-composition to put the dynamic insertion of overlays and secure backgrounds. So as you were talking about before, adding watermarks, the digital void pantograms and digital verification grids so people can't photocopy, and that when somebody sees an original check, it has the right markings on it so it's easily identifiable. But to the question that was posed earlier, how do we do this if we have a manual point of sale or something where somebody is taking the document in from a remote source and doesn't have the ability to look at a watermark or things of that nature? How do I validate that that document is real? Indexing, creating these tracking files, and at least having a correspondence to a name and an address block with an account number, something to link that together. We find other people use kind of a document fingerprint. So some instances you can't put a barcode on a document or some watermark on a document, but if I looked at four or five different areas of a document and I captured whatever information was in that area and I used that to make that unique, maybe an approach like that might be able to help you step down the path of securing your documents without having the necessary infrastructure to do it day one. And that's what I was referring to with kind of, you know, practical migration strategies to get from point A to point B, the MacGyver method. So also, if you can manage your digital assets, you can start right-sizing your jobs and processing them for postal efficiency. We see a lot of people merging their check and non-check work these days for postal efficiency, because now we can do, you know, mica and color printing together and use a common stock with dynamic perfing machines and other types of techniques so that you can start to do better householding and postal sortation and merge your EOBs and EOPs together, for example, so you can get more efficiency from your high-speed devices and better postage.
Hey, Michael, a quick question. Sure. Have you gotten any input when you start looking at blending those documents, the kinds of postal savings that people have been able to incur?
Well, one example from a Blue Cross Blue Shield a customer of ours, that through householding, they are saving about $120,000 a month in postage.
Okay. Right.
Where my past at Cigna, I think it was a couple of million.
Yeah. But substantial savings if you're getting this right.
Right. And then, you know, if you think about it, if you could, you know, process your non-check statements and then the last page becomes the check and you can dynamically put the overlay on it with the digital pentagram and the void mark on it, dynamically as an overlay, and then use either perforated stock or cut the stock in a finishing process, that would greatly reduce the issues of doing the, you know, trying to merge two separate print jobs at insertion time to facilitate the same thing.
Great, thanks.
So the regulatory challenges, again, the privacy challenges are ever increasing, and it's no longer restricted to, you know, floor security of making sure you use lock boxes and caging up the stock and signing it out and the manual control sheets to audit the beginning and ending click number on the printer, et cetera. These have ever expanded to securing the entire environment. So a lot of our Service Bureau customers especially are now asking how they can take their whole environment and make it PCI compliant. So the PCI, the payment card industry security standards, you know, from the FTP or the secure FTP process right down to, you know, the server that hooks up to the post office all have to be behind the firewall and secure data transfer in between. And once the data is gone, the servers themselves have to have scrubbers run against them to make sure that the images of the files are completely removed from the servers. And then the compliance reporting itself. So this is, again, where we have to start to think in terms of transaction level details. So it's no longer that job, check job number 75 ran and 700 pages came out. It's check job number 75 ran and these 700 individual transactions came out with a complete history of the time that the file hit your server to the time it went through the three or four physical processes and then validated that it made it out the door or through electronic distribution. So with regard to the application, from a challenge standpoint, most of the people, the Fortune 500 companies that John had mentioned are the same folks that we deal with as well, and the number of legacy applications is, you know, it's almost insurmountable. So, you know, to go and to put these controls into the various secure document applications, even if it took 3 months and I had 50 of them, that's 1,500 months of programming time. So you can have all of the hardware lined up, but if the applications aren't, if you don't put the proper controls into the digital assets, you cannot leverage the physical assets put in place to secure them. So this remains a problem where a lot of manual processes are still in place, and the lines of businesses who own those applications are very slow to update that. But the reality is they put the operations and the service providers at risk because, you know, they've put the proper physical controls in, but the applications are not still not up to date to leverage them. So moving along here, from an environment standpoint, again, the intelligence, smart devices to track at the transaction level, camera systems to compensate for less intelligent devices, additional camera systems to track actual content on these documents. I mean, tracking barcodes are one thing, maybe matching the amount to the address block or something is where we see some people going to make sure that the content matches the recipient. And you need tracking systems to collect and report on these types of results. So the printing infrastructure has to deliver the data somewhere, and the inserting and the reprinting and the finishing or whatever manual processes happen in between. In order to have a full secure infrastructure, this all has to be reported up to some workflow automation or collection system. And that's where we see people trending, again, in the last 18 to 24 months, a lot of interest in workflow automation to trigger, track, and audit these processes, and then site management capabilities to collect all of the data from the various components so that you can do a centralized reporting across all of the services. And that's from the time that the file hits the queue to the time that you send it out the door or present it online. So some of the controls we see, you'll check registers, making sure that those are sent to the bank, et cetera, when the processing is complete. Itemized production control reports, again, giving document level and transaction level details. Still using device logs, system logs for when the programs are processing, and then facility logs when people are actually, employees are logging in and logging out and who was in the facility at the time that the things were processing, because if things go missing, they have to be able to start to pinpoint who was actually physically in the building when that material disappeared.
Mike, I got a quick question for you. Sure. Somebody asked a question, and you talk about legacy application and the complexities of different lines of business. In today's market, do you think that the obstacle is technology, or is it really the legacy side of the market? What's the biggest slowdown today?
It's resources.
Resources.
It's IT resources in the business, because really what ends up happening is the business turns over the the production of the check or the secure document to the operations, and they basically kind of wipe their hands of it. And coming from an operations perspective, and I'm sure a lot of people on the phone will concur, you know, asking them to add a barcode or change data takes a small lifetime. And it's not that they're not attentive, it's just they have other business priorities, and at times this isn't their highest priority. So,
and somebody asked me to define legacy. Could you just take a second to define how you describe legacy apps?
Just applications that are in production today. So some applications in companies were created, say, in the last couple of years and have the appropriate production control marks and security measures put into them. And then what I term legacy is the applications, the land of the lost toys applications that nobody has actually touched the code in 20 years.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Those applications, operations struggle to automate and to leverage the latest technology because they don't own them. The business owns them. And that's where we see the lag.
Chris, thanks.
Yep. So from trends, we see a lot of merging of non-check and check applications because there's more use of color prevalent and the ability to electronically insert these pantographs and grids on it to secure things and not use pre-printed stock. And then with the intelligent cutting and perforation capabilities, you can always create a check out of a blank piece of paper in stream. We see that people address these issues and kind of quickly put these security measures in place using post-composition tools. Again, going back to the lines of businesses, and if I had 50 applications, and even if it took a month to fix each one, would be 50 months before you could fully leverage all your devices you have out on the floor. So from an operations standpoint, a nice alternative is to just take the data out of the incoming print file, massage it on the fly, and put the necessary controls so you can leverage the devices on the floor. More secure environments, people are moving, again, their FTP servers, the print servers, intelligent inserting servers, these are all now being behind the firewall in these PCI-compliant environments. And, again, online presentment, a lot of document encryption, things of that nature, and huge increase in facilities and employees' security of white rooms to process the data and PCs without USB ports and no cameras on your phone and employees with background checks and things of that nature are all written into a lot of the contracts I see to do business with folks these days. And the evolution of the enterprise ADF, which is this intelligent tracking from end to end. It used to be called the Automated Document Factory, the ADF. Now it's evolved to the Enterprise ADF, which is a little bit outside the boundaries of the physical production environment and now has to cover the IT environment. And these environments have to process at a transaction level, not the job level, a transaction level. So here's an example of raw data and print file information coming into a secure landing zone and workflow automation triggering composition or post-composition to format the data and get it prepared for the operations, and then basically monitoring and reporting on the physical aspects and putting that information in a central repository to be used for compliance reporting or to be given back to business customers or customer service agents. So that's kind of the end of my rant here. And just to summarize that we at CFAS have a couple of products, designer and producer, that kind of facilitate the ability to either create brand new documents using composition or to repurpose print streams using post-composition to implement the security measures. And we have an enterprise ADF architecture that can plug into people's print servers and intelligent inserting environments and things of that nature and kind of watch the end-to-end production process at a transaction level. So.
Well, thank you very, very much, Mike. And I'm going to just tell everybody we've got a few minutes for Q&A. If you haven't submitted a question, please do so. If you've got one, I'm going to just wrap up with a couple of recommendations and conclusions. And first, I want to thank both John and Mike for valuable information. But I think the big component that everybody needs to look at is we really are dealing with a $725 billion plus problem. And service providers of all types can have a major impact in terms of helping clients reduce fraud, counterfeiting, and make sure that the right person gets the right document. And the bottom line benefit is that it reduces losses and improves the bottom line results for both your organization and those that trust in you. It's going to help you, if you're a service provider, improve revenue because you're offering an expanded services portfolio. It's also going to help your customer base. You're protecting your clients, and you're increasing overall compliance. It's a complex process, and I think as you listen to both John and Mike, it takes an investment. And what you've got to do is take a look at the risks associated with specific documents. You need to take the time to evaluate the technologies and work process changes that are essential to meeting customer needs. And you really need to do a good job at that overall cost-benefit analysis. And so those are the kinds of things that I think companies need to look at as they move forward in terms of the overall strategy for secure documents. Now, I do have one question that came in, and I'm going to direct this to Mike. And it says, Mike, do you use server virtualization or physical services? I ask both John and Mike. Or do you recommend server virtualization or physical services? And I'll start with John. John, any comments on server virtualization or physical servers?
We use server virtualization for the simple fact that from a redundancy, a testing environment, and creating platforms where you can roll them out quickly, it seems to work very well. So I see that as a driving trend, and the answer is yes. Server virtualization.
Mike, okay, any comments?
No, I would concur. Virtual server environments handles all the forward recovery, disaster recovery, scalability, and security. So that's what we've seen in the trend in the last, say, 18 months has been more virtual machine environments.
Yeah, I mean, you can basically replicate an environment inside of 15 minutes that would take you hours or days if you're moving from a virtualized environment.
Okay. And I have one last quick question, and then we'll wrap up. But, Mike, you made a comment about logging in and out of the building and knowing who's in a building. And the question that came back is, what about biometric access control systems? Any comments on that?
Well, I mean, for our perspective, we have, you know, secure IDs, and so employees have access, and you have to use a keypad to get in. But we don't necessarily run a production floor, so I wouldn't have the same insight that maybe John would have.
John, any comments on biometric controls?
I mean, we have them at various different points. It's fine, but you, to Mike's point, you need to keep logs of who's accessing what area at what time. And actually, using the cards, and they seem to work better and they track better because, you know, I haven't seen machines, but, you know, that have biometric start points on the machines. It's more, you know, we have readers or monitors by those machines where they can log their time and log what they're doing on that particular job.
Okay. Well, guys, I would really like to thank you for your time today. Great insight in terms of how to make documents more secure. Thanks again, and I'd like to thank everybody for joining us today and your participation. Have a great rest of the day. Take care.